apps can do a lot of cool things. You could order dinner, gamble on your favorite team, and track your health. You could even get a mortgage. One click and you can be approved. I'm not sure by who or what country they're in. You deserve more from the mortgage industry. At AnyMac Home Mortgage, we believe in the need for live human interaction during a very complex process. The kind of service and guidance which an app simply can't provide. Our customers are more than credit scores and income documents. They're individuals and families who live in and strengthen our communities. Their story is our story, and that story begins in a home. Chris Sawyer is an expert on providing superior customer service and in meeting the mortgage needs of current and future home buyers. With over 18 years of experience in the industry, Chris is able to help customers migrate through the home buying and home financing process by using his wealth of knowledge as a well-qualified mortgage professional. And best of all, Chris is located in Cromwell, Connecticut, where he has helped hundreds of clients in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island make their dreams of home ownership a reality. Visit chrissawyer.annie-mac.com. Email him at csawyer@annie-mac.com or give him a call, 860-878-8730.
Chris Sawyer, NMLS number 39345, corporate NMLS number 338923, Annie Mac Home Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender, American Neighborhood Mortgage Acceptance Company, LLC, DBA, Annie Mac Home Mortgage, Lo-Fi Direct, Connecticut First Mortgage Correspondent, License Lender, Broker Number, ML338923, Massachusetts Mortgage Lender and Mortgage Broker License Number, MC338923, Rhode Island License Lender, License Number 20112810L. Call for additional details.
Welcome to Sports Talk with R&J. I am Steve Risser, along here with Justin D'Onofrio. And we've had some pretty good days in the NBA playoffs. We'll start with last night. We'll start with the Mavs-Clippers game last night as the Mavs evened the series with the Clippers last night. And last night it was Luka Doncic. It was Luka Doncic, 32-9-6. Just a typical Luka performance. Had that step-back three to pretty much close out the game last night. And the big question here in this series is who has the edge? And I took the Mavs in six, and I'm still taking the Mavs in six, and I still think they have the edge. Because here's the deal for the Clippers. The Mavs got Luka Doncic, and you don't. Luka Doncic is clearly the best player in the series. I remember these teams met up 3 years ago in the playoffs when it was close between him and Kawhi. It ain't close anymore. Luka's clearly better. Luka's clearly the best player in the series. That's why I think the Mavs got the edge. Justin, your thoughts on the Mavs beating the Clippers and who has the edge between those two teams right now?
Yeah, you know, Mavs pulled one out last night. You know, after Game one, you know, I think it was a third quarter. They only were able to score it, or second quarter. They only were able to tally 8 points. So, it was a bounce back. They had a couple other supporting cast guys kind of step up last night, which was big for them. Now, right now, I'll still take slightly the Mavericks. I know Kawhi came back last night. He did not look totally healthy, 100% healthy yet. The one concern I had is the Clippers still almost won, and they shot 8-for-30 from three. But I still will take the Mavs slightly just because of Luka Doncic right now, the way he's been playing. But yeah, that was a big one last night. And, you know, PJ Washington stepping up was huge for him.
It definitely was. And yeah, you could say that, you know, the Mavs, you know, only won by 3 points and the Clippers didn't shoot the ball well, especially Kawhi. Kawhi didn't hit a three last night when he came back. But I just think Doncic makes such a difference. And they got the split. They got the split on the road. Now they're coming home to Dallas. And I think these role players, I think, you know, you saw PJ Washington step up last night, but I think you're going to see, you know, some of the guys, you know, seeing seeing Jones, seeing Gafford, seeing some, even Hardaway, seeing some, you know, Gafford and even Hardaway, Kleba. You're going to see those guys step up, I feel like, on the road. That's why I am giving the Mavs the edge. I am giving the Mavs the edge in the series right now. I know this is a very even series between these two teams, like it was 3 years ago, because, you know, the Clippers addition of James Harden James Harden has played well in both games. And you got Russell Westbrook coming off the bench. Russell Westbrook coming off the bench. So I think here's the thing. When you got the best player, and they do have listen, say what you want about Kyrie, and he didn't play great that well in game one. He was really good last night. And he's been really good lately. He's been Kyrie's a really good number two. As I've said so many times, you don't want Kyrie being your best player, but if you have him as your number two, you saw what happened with him and LeBron. They won a championship. So I like the Mavs here. I like the Mavs. I like Luka here. I think it's gonna be a really close series. Very easy to go seven like it did 3 years ago. But I really like the Mavs here.
Yeah. You know, the Mavs still, yes, the slight favor here. Yeah, going back home. Yeah, that's usually when the role players kind of step up, start to play better. You know, feel more comfortable. So you expect them to play better and you know, like Russell Westbrook had a really good game one last night. He really struggled shooting the ball. I know he's, you know, he was 2 for 9, 1 for 3 from three. But yeah, they, you know, the Mavs guys, yeah, like Tim Hardaway, I expect to start getting it going this, you know, in this series. You know, PJ Washington again, hopefully good start for him last night. Hopefully he kind of continues to build off that. So yeah, you know, if the Mavs get a couple guys that are just able to knock down some shots outside of Luka and Kyrie, they're gonna be really tough to beat. And you know, it's really gonna come down to, yeah, what role players do play better. Because you know, Kawhi, James Harden, who's played pretty well, but we've seen throughout the playoffs, kind of when it's a shorter rest, you know, you might, you know, he'll tend to struggle a little bit more. And then Paul George. So like, both teams got some really good kind of core guys, but it's kind of what role players gonna be able to step up and, you know, help out when maybe one of those guys are off. And yeah, you know, now that the Mavs went home, they did get the split, which is always what you want going on the road. So in the first few games, so yeah, I do think the Mavs could still pull the series out.
I think the Mavs are in good shape. I think it's close. I wouldn't be surprised if either team wins, but I do think the Mavs are in good shape right now. But going to a team who's not in good shape, and that's the Phoenix Suns, and they are down 0-2 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the big question for the Suns is what do they need to do to get back into the series? And I think it's pretty obvious. The big three has got to be better, especially Beal and Booker. These guys got to step up. I mean, they have not played that well in either of the two games. In either two games, they haven't played well. So the Beal and Booker step up, and even Durant here. Come on now. I mean, all right, you had James Harden, you had, you know, Kyrie. I know you didn't have Kyrie for that entire series against the Bucks, but you had a pretty good team in Brooklyn that didn't work out. I'll go through the whole career. We'll go through the whole thing with Durant. When he joined the Warriors, you know, he joins a team with 73 wins, and I know he wins 2 championships, but that was with Steph Curry. Even though he won the finals, I'll give him the credit for the finals MVP. But then in Brooklyn, he doesn't make it past the second round, and here he's down 0-2. And he has 3 assists the entire series. Yes, I'm not saying that he's not a top 10 player in the league, but he's got to be better right now. Anthony Edwards is playing better than him. He's outplaying him right now in this series.
Yeah, you know, Edwards had a rough game last night, but, you know, the Timberwolves had guys that stepped up around him. Jaden McDaniels, a guy who averaged 10 points a game, puts up 25 for you last night, grabs 8 rebounds. And again, he's an awesome defender too. And, you know, he was great on that end of the floor too. And yeah, you know, Booker's got to take more than 13 shots. I know he struggled from 3, he's only 1 for 6, but he's got to take more shots than that. And, you know, Beal too got it going, and Durant too. Yeah. You know, I just think the Suns, they're too reliant on like the mid-range jumpers, which, you know, aren't always the best shot, especially against a defense like the Timberwolves, who are pretty good. They're best defense team all year in the league. And yeah, like, this is a huge series for Phoenix, and I guess even for Minnesota too, because, you know, they got all those young pieces. You know, they haven't won a playoff series in, what, 2 decades. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of pressure on both these teams in this series. And yeah, right now, and I felt like Phoenix too in that fourth quarter last night. Like, I just kind of, you know, kind of almost felt like they maybe just gave up a little bit. You know, like, there was chances to get back in. They got down, I think, at one point in that quarter, like 18. I know they kind of tried to claw back into it, but yeah, I just, right now the Suns, there's just not enough around them. And yeah, if the big three aren't going to play well like they didn't last night, they're, you know, this is going to be a pretty quick series.
Yeah, it's crazy to say that when you have guys, the talent of Durant, Booker, and Beal, to say it's a quick series, that's not a good look, especially for Kevin Durant. There's a lot of pressure on Durant to pull this out. There's a lot of pressure. There's a ton of pressure because you look, since he left the Warriors, which looks like it now, it looks like it's a huge mistake now. Since he left the Warriors, he's not gotten past the second round. Yeah, he was close in 2021, but he ended up losing to the Bucks. And then 2022, gets swept to the Celtics. Last year, loses in the second round of the Nuggets. So there's a lot of pressure on Kevin Durant here for his legacy. He's one of the best players of this generation. But if he wants to be up there with the LeBrons, and if he wants to be up there with the Steph Currys, he's got to win it. He's got at least, you know, get to an NBA Finals without him. He did get to an NBA Finals with the Thunder. My bad there. But he has to win a championship without those guys. You know, I just think that, and he says, oh, yeah, the way you guys consume the game is not right. He gets on people for consuming the game the way they do. Who's the best player of all time? Michael Jordan. He's got 6 championships. LeBron James has 4 championships. Kobe Bryant, he's got 5 championships. This is about championships as the best player on the team. And listen, you won two rings. I know you were the finals MVP, but you arguably weren't the best player on the team. And Steph won two championships without you. So you need to step up. Three assists is not getting it done. That does not get it done for Kevin Durant. I know he had 31 in game one, but last night he had 18 points and two assists. That is not getting it done if they want to go far in this postseason.
No, absolutely not. There's been pressure on him a lot the last couple of years, and he's getting up there. He's 35. He's going to be 36 when the season starts. Next year. So, he's kind of getting at the last kind of leg here of his career, and he's got to kind of win one now. And this kind of felt like with this team, maybe their best chance. But I know the Nuggets are tough, but yeah, the way they're playing at the Timberwolves, the way just offensively they've really, really struggled. He needs to step up big time because he wants to be again. Yeah, he's one of the most talented players out there. He hasn't been able to get his team over the hump, and it really looks like again that's going to be the case again unless something really turns around. But the way the Timberwolves are playing, especially the way the guys, the role guys are playing around them.
Yeah, that's the thing. Edwards has made like a Jaden McDaniels, even Gobert better. He's doing what Durant should be doing. That's why Edwards right now, he's a top 10 player. The way he's played this year, he's been amazing. He's been outstanding this year and making guys better around. That's what Durant's got to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And he hasn't, I know, Nurkic had 10 points and 14 boards. He had double-double, but other than that,
A double-double attempting 1-3. Okay. Yeah. Let's stop with these double-doubles and triple-doubles. Okay. Stop with that. Let's hit some threes and let's win some ball games here. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Eric Gordon had 15, but he was 3-for-5. But yeah, other than that, nobody else could really get going. And that's huge. And again, Grayson Allen being hurt too is a huge loss because I think he was the best 3-point shooter percentage wise in the league.
It's a loss. Definitely a loss.
Yeah, it's a loss. But he's kind of their fourth guy, and now you really need one of these other guys to step up now. And last night none of them did without him. So if Grayson Allen didn't miss the extended period of time, it's the Thunder, they really need drastically somebody to step up on this team. And last year it really didn't see it, and this year doesn't, nobody's done it yet. And, somebody's got to have to do it in game three.
Yeah, definitely. They got to win game three. They got to win game three or their season is over. Now, going to another team that is facing an 0-2 hole, and that is the Lakers. They are down 0-2 to the Nuggets. Lost at the buzzer on Monday night with Jamal Murray's Jamal Murray hit that shot at the buzzer. They lost to the Nuggets. Nuggets up 2-0. But the big question is what do the Lakers have to do to get back in the series? And it's pretty obvious. The supporting cast around AD LeBron's got to step up. I mean, D'Angelo Russell had a good game two, but he didn't have a good game one. Reeves and Hachimura really need to step up. Guys around AD and LeBron need to step up. Now, LeBron, you probably have to make that open shot at the end of the game and stop complaining about the officiating, okay? Enough with that. Please, hit that open shot at the end. You win that game. So stop complaining about the officiating. And it would be nice for AD to hit a three, I know he's averaged 30 points. He's played great. But it would be nice to see him hit a three-point shot, or hit a big shot at the end of the game, But still, the Lakers, they need the supporting cast to be better if they are going to get back into the series.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it. They had six points only off the bench. That all came from Terrence Prince the other night. Vincent didn't score. Dinwiddie didn't score. Jackson Hayes, he's not a great defender. He's not really polished offensively at all. And Rakamore last year we kind of stepped up for him. He had a rough game last night. Monday night. He had 3 points. So yeah, the Lakers, they got to, the supporting cast definitely has to help them out because, LeBron at 39 played really, really well. But to blow a 20-point lead against a team that you've lost, 9 straight now in the playoffs? That's a game you have to win and to blow that one. And yeah, them complaining, they were plus 511 the free throw differential this year. So I don't know what they're complaining about because you get the calls every night. The Lakers do every single night. So yeah, that's a game you can't lose. And them complaining, they again, don't score more than you know, 40 points in the third, in the second half. Then, you know, that's not that hard. You know, I just, yeah, I hated the blaming the officials thing. That was ridiculous. But yeah, the Lakers, they you know, that's the supporting roles. You know, LeBron and AD, you know, did what they could. D'Angelo Russell's played really, really well too. But yeah, you need to sit more than 6 points.
Exactly. And for the Nuggets, how do they, you know, put the Lakers away? Just have the starting five play the way they are. Jokic, obviously, best player in the game. Guy's getting like triple doubles every game in the playoffs. Guy's ridiculous. He's owning the Lakers. He is flat out owns LeBron and the Lakers. Jokic has just been outstanding. Same with Murray with that buzzer beater, and Porter Jr. has been good. Maybe get a little bit more out of Gordon, maybe a little more out of KCP, and a little bit more out of the bench. But when you've got three guys like Jokic, the best player in the game. You got Murray, you got a good three-point shooter. There's a reason why the Nuggets are the favorite to win it, and they've definitely showed that in the first two games.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Nuggets, you know, they don't have much of a bench either. But again, you know, other guys, you know, Michael Porter Jr. had a really good game. Aaron Gordon wasn't great, but he did enough. You know, Tristan Brown, no, he had 10 points. Didn't hit a three, but did contribute 10 points. Like, yeah, Jokic is just such a beast to kind of stop, and he's so, you know, he's different than any other player out there right now, and that's why he's the best player in the sport. But yeah, you know, Jamal Murray didn't knock down shots the other night. He was 9 for 24, didn't hit a three, but yeah, the other guys around him did enough, and you know, they had guys contribute. And yeah, like, this, as long as the Nuggets, again, you know, you get out to like a lead game three, game four, it's a Laker team that really hasn't beaten you in a while here, so you know, you get them down a hole early on, and just kind of, it's a team that can't have, you know, it's a team of the Lakers that probably do not have much confidence right now being the Nuggets. So you jump on them early, you know, you're going to be in good shape. Now, game three, because of what the Lakers have said, you might get the, you know, the whistle might not go your way. You know, you're going to probably deal with that in game three. But again, Nuggets should cruise. I'd be surprised if this thing goes more than five.
Yeah, I would be either. I feel like the Nuggets are in the Lakers' heads. I wouldn't be surprised if the Nuggets close this one out in five. But before we get to the East, we'll talk about the last Western Conference series between the Pelicans and the Thunder. It looks like Zion will be out the entire series. Really good game one, but this is a series. I know the Thunder are young, but I think this is a series they definitely should win. For the Pelicans, you know, to maybe to even the series, I would say maybe get more to Brandon Ingram. And for the Thunder, you need to get a little bit more to Dort, Giddey, and Dort. Dort, Giddey, and Holmgren, and SGA and Williams going better from three. But this is a series the Thunder should win, even with the Pelicans not having Zion.
Yeah, it should. You know, I think kind of the same thing with you know, I was talking about the Kings last week. I think the Pelicans' size, the wing spots, could be an issue. Like Trey Murphy, 6'8", Brandon Ingram, 6'8", you know, and then you got Dort and Jalen Williams, who are 6'4" and 6'5". So that could be an issue here for the Thunder. So, you know, that could be a key for him. Trey Murphy, Brandon Ingram could really get going. And CJ McCollum, he's been very streaky so far this postseason. Like, when, you know, if he can be consistently on, they're going to be tough out, because Herb Jones is one of the best defenders in the league. And again, you know, I know, say, you know, SGA had 28 points, but Herb Jones, I think, is going to keep him in check most of the series, or is going to do his best. So, yeah, you know, I'm with you. Like, the Chet Holmgrens, Jalen Williams, Dort, Giddey, like, those guys are going to have to hit knockdowns for shot, because I wouldn't be surprised that there's some nights where Herb Jones kind of keeps Gilgeous Alexander around, like, 20 points or so. So, you know, it was a low-scoring, physical, defensive game, and, you know, the Pelicans did a really good job on the glass. But, again, it's a series that the Thunder should win, but I wouldn't be shocked, even without Zion, if the Pelicans do kind of steal a couple here.
Yeah. We'll see. I think the Pelicans get a game or two, maybe two, after the way how competitive they were in game one. But I wouldn't be surprised. But I definitely think the Thunder win the series. But we got to move on to the Eastern Conference, and we'll start with the game last night. We'll get to you know, the game, the comeback on Monday night. But we'll start with the game last night between the Pacers and Bucks, as the Pacers even their series with the Bucks, thanks to 37 points from Pascal Siakam. Hit three threes as well. Haliburton had 12 points and 12 assists. Miles Turner at 22. The big question is here: who has the edge? And I know you like the Pacers in the series. I'm still gonna say the Bucks, because Giannis, there's definitely a chance he can come back. And I still think, the way Lillard's been playing in the series, I still think Lillard is the best player on the floor for both teams. So I will still give the Bucks the edge, but Justin, I think I have a feeling I know where you're going here.
I'll stick to my guns here. I'll still say Pacers pull this thing out. Because I know, Giannis could come back, but my one concern is it's eerily similar with KD a couple years ago, and then he tore the Achilles. Because he had the same calf injury. It's all calf Achilles is connected. So that's my one kind of concern. To the comment from Frank.
So if the Bucks, don't win, it's a bust of a season.
Oh yeah.
If they lose the first round, yeah. I mean, I would say they have to get to the conference finals. I would say for the Bucks that they have to get to the conference finals for it to be a bust of a season. If they don't get to the conference finals, it is because they went out and traded for Damian Lillard. They were expected to, win a championship. Now, they made some weird moves this year, firing Adrian Griffin when they were 30-13. That was a very weird move, and to me, it made no sense. But I do think they got to get to the conference finals.
Yeah, I'm with you. If they lose in the first round, it's definitely a bust. If they can get to the conference championship game where you're most likely going to see a Celtic team who their net rating-wise is, the third best since, the Bull – or I think it's, the highest since, the 95 Chicago Bulls team, I heard. So – it's a Celtic team that, is one of the best teams we've seen in a while. So, yeah, if they can get there, battle with the Celtics, give them a series. Give them, if Giannis is healthy, take them, six games. I think, be somewhat of a successful season for them. I still think the Pacers – I think the Pacers do knock them off. Cause I just think Pascal Siakam right now is just such a mismatch nightmare. And they don't really have an answer for it. And, even Giannis comes back, I think he played well enough against Giannis. Cause how healthy is Giannis going to be? So I could see them kind of switching off. If they try to have Giannis, not guard him, maybe they try to run some stuff to get Siakam for Giannis to switch on to Siakam. But, and I think Haliburton too, I think he's got to be a little bit, he's got to go to the basket. He's not a great 3-point shooter. I know he's developed it, but he took 7 threes on 10 shots that he took in the game. He's got to get to the basket. That's his game. And I know he had the hamstring injury in January. I don't know if that's still bugging him, but he's got to be more aggressive and go to the hoop.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I think the Bucks have the edge just because of the fact that, that they have the best player on the floor, but I definitely could see the Pacers winning the series. Now we're going to call an audible a little bit here because we got Frank in the group. I was going to go to the Knicks and Sixers, but because we got Frank in the group chat and it's game two of the Heat Celtics tonight, we'll talk some Heat Celtics. And I'm not being disrespectful to Heat here, but without Jimmy Butler, we all know the Celtics are going to win the series. How many games do the Heat win in this series? How many games do you give the Heat in this series? And I might just give them one because I think they win one in Miami. That's it. The Celtics are just too good, and the Heat just don't have their best player. Now, if the Heat had Jimmy Butler, I think it's going to be a much different series because we all know playoff Jimmy. We've seen playoff Jimmy, okay? He's a top 10 player in the playoffs. But without Jimmy Butler, I think this is a Celtics. I think this won't go any more than 5 games.
Yeah, I think I'm going to sweep here. I don't, in Jimmy Butler, and then you added Terry Rozier as a guy who averages 20 points a game. You're losing him too. They just don't have enough offensively to keep
Frank,
up.
Frank's being a realist. Celtics.
Yeah.
He's being a realist, knowing the situation. Yeah. Because you can talk about Heat culture as much as you want, but look at all the times they've made these runs to the finals. In 2006, they had Shaq and D-Wade. In 2011 to 2014, they had LeBron and D Wade, and then from 2019, they won one playoff series. They missed the playoffs a couple of times, and then when they got Jimmy Butler, they got to the finals twice. They got to the conference finals, so they've gotten to the finals twice. So the star player, I don't care about your culture in the NBA. The star player always matters, and that's why I think the Heat are in big trouble in this series.
Yeah, Spoelstra is such a great coach. The injuries definitely have an effect on that. Because I think in this series now too, Spoelstra is going to play a lot. I could see the Heat pulling one out because Spoelstra is going to play mostly zone. The Celtics might take 63s. If they have a very off night, maybe the Heat steal one. But, like, other than that, I just don't see how they keep up in this one. And they just don't have the talent. And, like, the Celtics defensively, too, Drew Holiday's really good. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tate, like, they have – they're all pretty good defenders as well. So that makes it a lot harder when you don't have Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier. So, yeah, it's just – it's a mismatch nightmare, and it's just –
Look at what Frank says. Heat culture does nothing when there are injuries. Yeah. And he's right. He's 100% right about that.
Yeah, no, he is. It's tough. They've had some great runs. Yeah, this is not going to be one of them. We've seen this Celtics team play around with their food. Like, we've seen it multiple times. So maybe they do. I could see Miami pulling one out in that way. Boston just lets them hang around. But other than that, yeah, I just, the Heat, the Celtics should win all four games by double digits or more. Like, I think it's that big of a mismatch right now.
Yeah, I just see the Heat maybe, as Frank said, they might win one in Miami. I don't think they win tonight, but they might win one in Miami. I just see them winning one in Miami. I see them, all right, they're 9 meter down, 0-3. They win one in Miami, and the Celtics beat them in 5. I just think that's what happens.
Yeah, I could totally see that. We've seen this. Yeah, we've seen the Celtics mess around, and yeah, maybe they go down there, don't play well in one game, and yeah, come right back up in game 5 and take care of business. But yeah, Spoelstra's such a great coach. Maybe he finds something to, game plan around and it figures out something. But yeah, other than that, I don't see Miami winning more than one game, unfortunately, in the series.
Yeah, I don't see that either. But now we got to move on to the Knicks and the Sixers, and what a comeback that was for the Knicks on Monday night. I mean, down 5 with 30 seconds to go. You have the 3 from Brunson. You get the steal, the 3 from DiVincenzo. You end up stealing game 2, winning it 104-101. And the big question here is for the Knicks, what do they got to do to put the Sixers away? And Jalen Brunson, I wouldn't say he's played terribly. He hasn't shot the ball that well. He's 2-for-12 from 3. He hasn't shot the ball well, but he has scored over 20 points in both games. But if Jalen Brunson is better, I think the Knicks are going to put the series away. I think they are. And if they get more to Jalen Brunson, I think that's what's got to happen for the Knicks to put the Sixers away.
Yeah, I'm with you because Brunson, the Sixers are doing a really nice job defensively on him, and they're letting Josh Hart and DiVincenzo pretty much take open threes. And if those two are on, and you can get Jalen Brunson to knock down a couple as well and start to heat up, and yeah, then I think the Knicks are in great shape to win the series. And my two is for the Knicks just. Continue not to let Embiid beat you. I know he had 34. Like, let him get, let him score his points. I know a couple of the role guys haven't really got going yet for Philly, but just continue not to let him beat you, because I think they've done a decent job. Again, he'll wear, you've seen him at the end of games, he'll wear down. I don't think he's 100% healthy yet, and the conditioning's always been an issue for him. So, continue to play physical with him, which they can with Mitchell Robinson and the Harkinson as well. There's not too many teams that could throw 2 7-footers out and just kind of bang bodies with them. So, which I think helps. So yeah, I think the Knicks right now are sitting pretty, and that was a great comeback win. And one of the biggest, games in the Garden in a while, especially for the Knicks.
Absolutely. I've heard it was the loudest the Garden was since the Larry Johnson 3-point, 4-point play game. That was years ago. That was 25 years ago. So huge, really, really good win. Great win for the Knicks. And you talk about role players too. We'll start with the Knicks. I mean, if Josh Hart continues to play the way he is, DiVincenzo, the player he's played in game 2, there's no way the Knicks lose the series. And then looking for the role players for the Sixers. When we talk about for the Sixers to get back in the series, the guys like Tobias Harris, the bench, those guys are the ones that have to step up here. Kyle Lowry played well in game 1. He didn't play that well in game 2. Those guys are the guys that are going to step up, the role players for the Sixers, because Maxey's played really well. Hit that huge shot to put him up 4 late in the game. Embiid, even though he's banged up, he played great at the start of game 1. Even though he's banged up, he played really, really well. He played really well in game 2. But the role players got to step up for the Sixers, or it's going to be another playoff disappointment for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be. Harris hasn't done anything. Buddy Hield, been through that experience for a couple of years when he was
Sacramento. I bet.
He's very – he'll you know, he'll go 8 for 9 or he'll go like last night, 1 for 3. And again, he's got to shoot though. You know, he's got to try to at least shoot the ball. And, you know, I don't think we're going to see another 20-point outing from Nicholas Batum like he did last Wednesday against the Bulls there. I don't think that coming anytime soon. So, yeah, they need some help outside of Maxey and Joel Embiid. You know, Oubre's got to knock down some shots because if they don't, the Sixers are in big trouble. Because then if they're not hitting shots, you can go double Embiid and let one of those guys beat you. You know, hit shots and meet us, and you go back, you know, you go kind of more single coverage. So, but yeah, for the next, you know, if you can get some shots falling too from OG Anunoby, you know, then Hart played a lot, you know, Hart played well, DiVincenzo, and then you got Miles McBride Saturday, who was like the huge kind of lift in that second quarter to put the Knicks ahead there. You know, he was huge in that second quarter. So, like, guys like him, yeah, if they're knocking down shots and, you know, and if Brunson can't get it going and they're letting the other role guys beat you or, you know, knocking down wide open shots, and the Knicks right now are sitting pretty right now.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely, if they do that, they definitely are. And the thing with Embiid is, like, the injury is affecting the Sixers a little bit because the Knicks really don't have to double him that much. The Knicks don't really have to double, like, if he was 100%, you'd have to double him. The Knicks don't have to double him. So that definitely hurts the supporting cast of the Sixers, the fact that he's not getting doubled.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because then, yeah, you could kind of lock up, you know, because like Harris healed, like, you know, they're pretty good shooters. Like, they do have some guys that can knock down shots. And again, you know, they're NBA guys. You leave them wide open, they're going to hit them most of the time. Or so, yeah, you know, it's definitely affecting them. You know, hopefully with the 2 days off, I think does give him a little, you know, does give the Sixers here a little bit of an edge, or helps the Sixers out a little bit more here. They have the 2 days off in between. But yeah, I just, how much more healthy could he get though in the series? And again, if this thing goes 6-7 games, I, you know, the condition, all that. So yeah, you know, if you don't have to double him, like the Knicks really haven't to, it's a huge plus because he is so tough to stop. And when he's right, he could still get through a double team or kick it out to somebody. And that could spell trouble. But right now the Knicks have been able to get away with it.
Absolutely. So we will wrap up talking about the least interesting series. That's the Magic and Cavs. The Cavs are up 2-0. And I think this is going to be a quick series because the Magic just can't shoot threes. I know they played over their head. They win 47 games. They've definitely played over their head. Jamal Murray's done a good job, but this team just can't shoot threes. And if you can't shoot threes, you're not going anywhere in the NBA today. So the Magic, to me, I would be. I thought the Cavs, they might take the Cavs to 6. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Cavs wrap this thing up in 5.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Magic, but yeah, they can't score. Malik Monk would be pretty, I'd hate it, but yeah, Kings fan, but Malik Monk would fit perfectly. A guy that can knock down shots and really open some things up because, man, their guards, I think outside of Jalen Suggs, the other four guards that they played last night had a total of 6 points on Monday night. So, I think it was in game one, actually. Yeah, it was in game one. Literally, you know, Gary Harris had 0. Jalen Suggs had 13. Their other three guards, Fultz had 0. Cole Anthony had 4. Joel Ingles had 1. You know, like, you need, you know, you kind of mentioned it, like, you got to knock down shots, especially your guards. And if they, you know, if they can't do that, they got no chance of the series. Yeah, it looks like a 1990s NBA game right now. It's very low scoring, physical defensive game. And Orlando is going to go down in 5. They just don't have the offense.
Yeah, and I don't really like the Cavs I don't think they're going to give the Celtics a series. I mean, you got to get over 100 points. I mean, I know they're winning the 2 games with the Magic, but they got to get over 100 points. It's just showing this is definitely the least interesting series in the playoffs by far.
Yeah, it has been so far. I don't sometimes mind the lower scoring games, but yeah, like, you know, both teams just can knock down, you know, Orlando shooting 26% from 3. Like, it's ugly basketball. It's been pretty bad. So yeah, it's ugly. Yeah, it's been one of the it's definitely the worst years right now. And that's why it's been stuck on NBA TV. And you know, yeah,
I would be surprised if that series doesn't get off NBA TV. I mean, it's not NBA TV tomorrow night. And let me tell you, the NBA today, I like Adam Silver. They did a terrible job. scheduling some of these games. Knicks Sixers on the night of Nick, you put the Knicks and the Lakers on the night of the draft. I know there's a rest thing. They probably wanted them both to play Saturday. I get it. But I think the play-in tournament does play into it too, because they're 2-7 series. So they really had no choice, but Knicks and Lakers on the night of the draft. You know, those are nights you know you're not getting any ratings for the NBA. They ought to just take Thursday night off. Realistically, they should just take that Thursday off the night of the draft, not play games, because your ratings are going to be terrible.
Yeah, they probably will, but I don't think it's good for the sport. See, I like every other day. I don't like the 2 days, 1 day. I like 1 day. I like every other day. That's how it should be. I know they like to spread it out with 2 weeks so they could get
they can't put like four. I probably don't want to put four games in every night like the NHL does. They don't want to put four games on every night. I think they want to spread it out, but just put three games on so you get certain games, get more attention.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a grind, you know, like you get 2 days off. It's not really a grind, you know, you get every 2 days off. It doesn't feel like a grind.
Yeah, you like the playoffs we're going to get to, your hockey playoffs, yeah, where they're doing it every other day.
Yeah, that's what I like. So, you know, that's kind of more how I like it. Yeah, I know tomorrow's ugly, but yeah, you know, they want the Lakers Saturday night. Your Knicks are, you know, they're off to Sunday. I was surprised that they didn't get the Saturday night one, but they got Miami, Boston, which the time probably felt like, you know, they could be good, but now, yeah, the time could be pretty. But yeah, I wish they did every day. But yeah, tomorrow ratings, yeah, might be a little tough for them.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And for this series, it looks like it's going to be Cavs easy. It looks like the Cavs are going to easily win this in five.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Orlando takes one of the two at home, but yeah, they're not going up to Cleveland and winning that game in game five.
Yeah, no way. So we'll wrap up talking about the hockey playoffs. We'll just do the Rangers and Bruins, and we'll start with the Rangers. Last night, they beat the Capitals to go up 2-0 on the Caps. And the big question is there any way the Capitals more than like a game in the series? I think the Rangers take care of them in five. But the thing is I wish the Islanders would push the Hurricanes, and they should have won on Monday night. I wish they would push the Hurricanes, so the Hurricanes have a tough series, and we're probably going to win in five, so it'd be a nice easy series. So we're rested to play the Hurricanes. I know they beat the Hurricanes 2 years ago. Didn't play them last year because we got upset to the Devils. But you want to play the Hurricanes when you're rested. But this is the President's Trophy champs. And for this series, I don't see the Capitals winning more than one game. I know it was a close game last night, but I just don't see it happening. I mean, you look at some of their numbers. This is got to be one of the worst playoff teams we've ever seen.
Yeah, I think goal differential is minus 37. I think that was the worst or one of the worst since like 1973. Like it's bad. And, you know, they shouldn't have gotten in, but Detroit absolutely choked down the stretch. Pittsburgh just, you know, they fell apart down the stretch. The Flyers like lost like 9 of 10. John Tortorella's Flyers.
Is he going to get fired, you think?
He hasn't yet, so he might stick around for another year.
It was 9 out of 10 and keep your job? Yeah, and I know John Tortorella. Tortorella's teams, I saw Tortorella with the Rangers. They made a pretty good move and they fired him, and then they got to the cup.
Yeah, they did. It was 8 of 10, my bad. But yeah, it was bad down the stretch. When they really, they pretty much had the playoffs kind of in their reach and grasp, and they fell apart. So they haven't fired him yet, so they might give him another year. But I don't see the Caps winning more than one. They've done a nice job. Ovechkin's only got one shot, and I think he's had 10 or 11 attempts so far in the series. They blocked some, but, you know, last night wasn't great. They held on there for dear life in the final 2 minutes where Caps kind of had multiple chances there. But what I worried last year, again, they looked great against the Devils in the first two games. And then the next three games, it was a totally different team.
I know.
And then they get one game six, they look better. And then game seven, they didn't even show up. They lost 3-0. And, you know, I don't think they barely 20 shots on goal. So,
yeah.
That's what worries me a bit, but yeah, like the Caps aren't a great team here. I am scared a little bit of Alexander Ovechkin, Oshie still. Like they still have some pieces, but this thing shouldn't go more than five. And yeah, it would have been nice to the Islanders because now you go 1-1 going home, you know,
going to USB.
You know that place gonna be rocking. Now all hope is pretty much lost for that Islanders team. But they blew it. They lost, I think it was 15, or they lost 16 overtime games. So it was a team that really could not finish on the stretch.
Yeah, It seems to be. And yeah, the Rangers should win this series easily against the Capitals. But we'll wrap up talking about the Maple Leafs and Bruins. And the Maple Leafs even the series on Monday night. Big goal from Austin Matthews in the third period. Now, the big question is, and I'll let you answer this, Justin, who has the edge between these two teams? These two teams, I don't know how evenly matched they are. I mean, it's the 2-3 series. But who has, with the series at 1-1 going to Toronto, who has the edge?
Yeah, I got the Bruins still. The Bruins beat them all year. They beat them all 4 games. And I don't think the Maple Leafs led once this year until game 2 of the series, until Monday night. The Bruins have had their edge. And there was a little, I don't know if it was totally true, but there's a little conspiracy out there that the Bruins, lost their final game against Ottawa to face Toronto so that they didn't have to face Tampa Bay in the first round. I don't know, I hope they didn't just throw a game away to play somebody else. I don't think that's the right way to go about things, but William Nylander, one of the Maple Leafs' best players, he didn't play in game 1 or game 2. It was undisclosed why. And it's a guy that hasn't missed a game due to injury in 8 years. So he was at morning skate, but it sounded like he warmed up with all the healthy scratches, which means he's probably not a go. Austin Matthews missed morning skate, but I guess he's going to play, it sounds like, from that coach. So, I don't know what's going on up there in Toronto, but Boston, I think they're going back with Swayman tonight. Last year, Montgomery kind of stuck with, I think it was Swayman. Swayman got hurt in game 6, and then, they didn't play well. Again, then they choked the 3-1 lead against Florida. So I think Boston's the better team in this series. Toronto, they got over their demons last year, and they finally won a postseason series. They got out of the first round. But, again, Nylander's one of their best players. If he's not going to be healthy, and then in the back end, too, for Toronto last couple years, the goalie situation hasn't been great with Samson off. And defenseman-wise, outside of Morgan Riley, they're not great in the back end. So I think the Bruins should win this in 6 games. I'll give Toronto 1 of the 2 up here, but I think Boston, again, I think they learned their lessons from last year. They don't mess around. I don't think it's a cup contender. Some of the older pieces they have, but I think the Panthers will get them in the second. I think the Panthers will beat them in the second round, but I do think the Bruins here are the better team.
Yeah, Panthers playing really well. I wouldn't be surprised if they go back to the cup. But yeah, the Bruins, it'll be an interesting series, see what happens with them and the Leafs going forward. But that's going to wrap up this edition of Sports Talk with R&J. We'll be back next week recapping the NFL draft and talking about the NFL playoffs. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Hello, my name is Joe Aguirre. I'm the president of Clovercrest Media Group. And here at CMG, we have a wide variety of podcasts, including sports shows like Keys to the City, The Roll Call, Throwing Jabs, All 4 Downs, and Jawing About the G-Man. And great true crime shows like Sticky Meat, Crimes and Consequences, Ivy League Murders, and Burn, The Unsolved Murder of David Eichmann. You can find all these podcasts and so much more by visiting clovercrestmedia.com.